The Gospel reading from Mark. As he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witnesses. You shall not defraud. And you should honor your father and your mother." He said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all these since my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, "You lack one thing. Go, sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come and follow me." When he heard this, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were perplexed by these words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." Now they were greatly astounded, and they said to one another, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals it is impossible, but not for God. For God all things are possible." Peter began to say to him, "Look, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, there is no one who has left house or brother or sister or mother or father or children or fields for my sake and for the sake of the good news who will not receive 100-fold now in this age: houses, brothers and sisters, mothers and children, and fields with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." This is the gospel of grace. Thanks be to God.
The famous actor and comedian W.C. Fields was on his deathbed in 1946 when his journalist friend Gene Fowler came to pay him a visit. Fowler was shocked to find Mr. Fields, a confirmed atheist, sitting upright in his bed reading a Bible. "What in the world are you doing?" Fowler asked his friend. Ever the wise guy, Fields looked up from the holy book and cracked a sly smile. "I'm looking for a loophole," he said. If the rich man in the Bible was looking for a loophole, he went to the wrong rabbi to try to find it. Searching for meaning, the man came to Jesus asking what he must do to inherit eternal life. Jesus spoke first of the Ten Commandments, which the man said he had kept since his youth. Jesus then said, the Bible says, looked at him and loved him. Loved him enough to tell him the truth. "There is still one thing you lack," Jesus said. "Go sell what you own and give the money to the poor. You will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. When the man heard this, he was shocked and he went away sad, for he had so many possessions. How hard it is for those who have wealth to enter into the kingdom of God. Indeed, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter into the kingdom of God. And suddenly then, it's not only the atheists who start looking for a loophole. Let's be honest. We in the West, particularly in the U.S., are some of the richest people in the world by worldly standards. Certainly, we who live west of I-35 are, by and large, much better off economically than those east of it. So this scripture could and should convict all of us who live well, with more wealth than we ought. That's why I've always appreciated, though sometimes been burdened by, what Will Willimon, Dean of Duke Chapel, used to tell us students, that it's not our job to try to protect the people in the pews from the strenuous sayings of Jesus. Nor are we to try to smooth Jesus's hard teachings with our own soft interpretations, saying we believe this is what he really meant and would have said if he too had the benefit of $100,000 theological education from Duke Divinity School. How hard it is for a rich man or woman to enter into the kingdom of God. Indeed, how hard it is for anyone to enter into the kingdom of God. For the kingdom of God reorients our relationships. It strips us of our power and our privilege. It separates us from the settled way, and it reframes for us what we think about almost everything. Community, connection, even family. And it's never, ever without consequence. And without cost. It's the 25th anniversary of the arrests in the drug sting that saw 46 mostly black people get wrongly arrested and or convicted on dubious and false charges in the little West Texas town of Tulia, where my grandmother was from. The one undercover cop who was witness to all those alleged crimes was given the Lawman of the Year Award in Texas, then later found out to be a perjurer and a crook himself. Eventually, all of the cases were thrown out and all of the people were pardoned. My good friends and Broadway members, Charles and Patricia Kiker and Alan and Nancy Bean, were part of the resistance that got those convictions overturned. And they took into their own home some of the children of the parents who had been charged. But amidst all of that, they fell out of favor with their own family and much of the rest of White Tulia. They were ostracized and punished. They even fell into conflict with their own families. The Bible says, when the rich man walked away, Jesus turned and he said to his disciples, "Truly I tell you, there is no one who has left houses or brothers or sister or mother or father or children or fields for my sake and for the sake of the good news, who will not receive 100-fold now in this age houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and fields with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life." How hard it is to enter the kingdom, for there is so much to be gained, but there is also much, frankly, to be lost. A couple of Fridays ago, we observed St. Francis Day here at Broadway with the blessing of the pets. If you missed it, there is always next year, so order your snakes now, because Pastor Fran loves to bless all manner of beasts and serpents. Actually, we should put that on Pastor Jennifer, because she's not here today. St. Francis was the son of a wealthy silk merchant in Assisi when he had a vision, resigned his wealth, and committed himself to a life of poverty. Francis's father tried to dissuade him, and in a dramatic scene, Francis stripped down naked before his father right in the public square, renouncing all of his and his father's worldly goods and worldly ways. It's a story more so to respect than to emulate. Unless, of course, you feel specially called to some kind of prison ministry. But though the letter of the story may be a little bit bizarre, the spirit is nonetheless still beautiful and true, and it is also challenging. For it asks us what we must be stripped of if we are to ourselves enter into this kingdom of God. What must we ourselves do to inherit eternal life? What is it that we must let go of? Where is it that we must go beyond those gated walls, beyond our safe zone, into the lives and livelihoods of others? What is it that we must let go of in order to grab hold of this kingdom? I've always liked the story of Millard and Linda Fuller, the founders of Habitat for Humanity. Before they became great humanitarians and philanthropists, the Fullers were a wealthy business couple in Alabama, living the so-called good life with a big house, $1 million in the bank, a boat on the lake, and a big Continental in the garage. Miller said the business that they ran had one very simple mission statement: to get rich. And they got rich. And Millard said Linda had everything a woman could ever want except for, well, a husband. Because he was busy working all the time. And on the brink of marital collapse, one night Millard was watching a television program when a woman came on who had been a missionary in China and fallen in love with an officer in the Chinese army. The couple was contemplating getting married, but the officer knew that marrying a Christian woman would be the end of his career. He went to see an old village elder to ask what it was that he thought he should do. The elder's answer was simple and sage. A planned life can only be endured, he said. And watching that TV program, Millard realized that that was what he was trying to do. He was trying to plan his life, which would, in the end, he knew, only be endured and not really lived. So he and Linda renewed their commitments to each other and to Christ. They gave away their wealth and moved into a little community, a plot of land in rural Georgia called Koinonia Farm, where they lived together with both blacks and whites in the late 1960s and 70s. Everyone in their families thought they had lost their minds. Even the pastor, they said, who counseled them, thought that they had lost their minds. Yes, Pastor Millard said, but isn't it true that the Bible says it's hard for a rich man to get into the kingdom? Yes, the pastor said, but you've got to be practical about these things. Impractically, they lived at Koinonia for 5 years. Then they themselves became missionaries in Zaire for another 4 years. And then in 1976, the Fullers came back to live on Koinonia Farm, where they started building simple little homes for poor people and founded the program that would later become Habitat for Humanity. What must I do to inherit eternal life? What must I do to really live life? And not just endure it. The answer, beloved, the answer is always, always the same. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for the sake of the gospel shall find it. St. Francis is attributed to have said, "Remember that when you leave this earth, you can take with you nothing that you have received, only what you have given. For it is in giving that we receive." It's in giving that we receive. It's in losing that we find. And it is in renouncing the plan that can only be endured that we discover the plan that will still have to be endured, but can also be enjoyed. It can be enjoyed on earth, even as it is in heaven. No, there is no loophole. I'm sorry. It's not easy for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. It's not easy for any of us. But with God, it is possible. For with God, anything is possible. And with God, well, with God, it's also worth it. The kingdom of God is worth whatever price we have to pay. And we will receive. We will receive it all in return. Every bit of it. With persecutions. And in the age to come. And in the age to come. Eternal life. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, mother of us all, and together all of God's people do say, Amen.